What a wonderful blessing to be here in the house of the Lord tonight. So thankful for the sweet love and hospitality we felt in this place, and so thankful for all the many labors that went on in preparing the absolutely wonderful meal that we were blessed to have. We appreciate the love that went into that. Such a blessing to enjoy the hospitality of the Miller's home and the Arnold's home today, last night. Just so thankful for the love we feel amongst the salt of the earth. And if the salt will have me, I plan to stay with them all the days of my life. Do ask to continued interest in your prayers. Appreciate the wonderful song service, the Lord being with us, the wonderful prayer prayed by your beloved pastor, who we love, and so thankful to be here with Brother Ronald. Such a blessing to be with these brethren. Just ask that you continue to pray. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. The book of Ephesians begins with some of the greatest teaching in all the Bible of the predestination and election of the Lord's people before the foundation of the world. And so he lays a big doctrinal teaching throughout the beginning of the book of Ephesians. And he ends the book of Ephesians with some very practical teaching. And I'm going to tell you that doctrine and practice go right along together. We can't truly preach about grace without preaching about what our response to grace should be. And that's to follow the Lord Jesus with everything that we've got. The Apostle Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, based on everything I've already written to you about the great things the Lord has done for you, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." He did not say, "Be strong in and of ourselves." He said, "Be strong in the Lord." The Lord Jesus would say, "Without me, ye can do a little bit, a fair amount." No, he said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." So if we're going to be strong, we've got to be strong in the Lord, in his strength, and in the power of his might. It doesn't sound like the Apostle Paul believed in a weak Lord. Doesn't sound like he believed in a Lord whose strength might wane or deteriorate over time. Sounds like to me he believed in a mighty, strong Lord. And that's the truth of the Lord we serve tonight. He is a mighty, strong Lord. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God." We can't put on something that we don't have. The Lord tells us to put on some armor that he has given to us. We have it at our disposal. He tells us to put it on. The Lord never calls on us to do anything that he does not give us the tools and ability to do. We can't ever tell the Lord, "Lord, you're calling me to do this, but you've just not given me the strength or ability to do it," because the Lord doesn't do that. The Lord calls us to do something. He gives us the strength. He gives us the ability. He gives us the tools we need to do what he's called us to do. He said, "Put on the whole armor of God." Not part of it. Put it all on. In my job as a U.S. probation officer, we go through a fair amount of firearms and safety training. And sometimes we use what's called NLTA. It stands for non-lethal training ammunition. And it's kind of like a souped-up paintball. And it can hurt you, and if you hit somebody in the right spot, even that non-lethal training ammunition could kill you. And we have some armor that goes along with that training. Well, we were out training one time. Didn't happen to be present. And some of our instructors, because it was hot, said, look, we don't need all this armor. We'll just use part of it. Well, one of our instructors wound up getting shot in the neck. And he wasn't seriously hurt. But I'm going to tell you, he was in pain for numerous days. And they learned that day the hard way, we can't just use part of the armor, but we've got to use the whole armor. He said, put on the whole armor of God. This is a perfect armor. This is an armor not made by man, but this is an armor made by Almighty God. Recently, we had a hostage situation in Rankin County, which is a suburb of Jackson. And the commander of a task force had a fatal wound to the chest. I had worked with that SWAT commander back in the late 90s on many drug cases. He had been a lieutenant of narcotics at a local police department, and several of the offenders that I supervised on federal supervision, he was investigating, and I knew him. He was a good man, he was a faithful servant, and it was a sad day when his life was taken. Numerous people asked me, Brother Mark, wasn't he wearing a ballistic vest? And the answer was yes. But the ballistic vest of man can't hold up to just any weapon. He was shot with a .30-06 that the vast majority of ballistic vests will not stop that round. And he succumbed to his injuries. You see, man's armor is never perfect. Man's armor can expire. The bulletproof vest I wear on my job, every 5 years, we got to get a new one because the vest expires. God's armor holds up against anything. And God's armor does not expire. He said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Numerous times as we read through these verses, he's going to say to stand, to withstand, to stand, to stand. And I'm going to tell you, we've got some standing we need to do. He's painting the image of us as soldiers of Jesus Christ. And to be a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ, you need to do some standing. And we've got to stand in the right way. We've got to stand in such a way that when the devil comes against us, we won't fall flat on our back. They teach us in defensive tactics how to stand. If I was to stand up here tonight with my feet together and not spread apart and me standing up straight, somebody, even a small child, could come and push on my chest with their finger and I'd fall down. Because I'm not standing the way you need to stand in a fight. But you've got to widen your center of gravity. You've got to lower your center. You've got to widen your feet because you're expecting a blow to come against you. And you want to withstand that blow. You want to stand firmly. And you want to stand firmly on the principles of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that the Apostle Paul has already taught them. We need to stand firmly on the truth of the Lord Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you, when we stand for the truth, we will automatically stand against the errors and the lies of Satan, which are so prevalent in the world today. He said that she may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's an old country song that he says, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And there's some things we need to stand for, the authority and the truth of God's word here in 2023 in the United States of America. We need to stand on the truth of the Lord Jesus and to withstand the wiles, to stand against the wiles of the devil. The That word wiles means deceit, means trickery. It means craftiness. The devil don't play fair. He plays with lies. He plays with trickery. He plays with craftiness. That word wiles is an interesting word. It comes from a Greek word that we get our word method from. You know, a lot of criminals, when they do crimes, if they do a crime over time and do a crime multiple times, they have a way of doing that crime. And in law enforcement, we call that their method of operation. On some of the old police shows, they'll say, what's their MO? Means what's their method of operation. I remember years ago, there was a career bank robber that had been arrested in South Haven, Mississippi. And he was one of the, for lack of a better way to say it, best or skilled bank robbers I had ever encountered in my career. He was good at robbing banks. They had a system. Part of their MO, part of their method of operation, part of their wiles, the way they did things, is they would rob a bank very quickly. The name of their bank robbery group was called the Stopwatch Gang, because they would rob a bank so quickly. Part of their method of operation was they would wear presidential masks. They actually made a couple of movies about this bank robbery team. He was very skilled at robbing banks. He was also very skilled at escape. And he had escaped a very secure institution, had fled the United States, and was living in the Philippines, a second life. But he said, you know, I think I'm about ready to retire, and I'm going to rob one last bank. Let's see, I'll go to Mississippi. I think I'm smarter than them, and I think I can get one over on them. So he goes to South Haven, Mississippi. Part of their method of operation was to get the police busy on other things. So he called in a diversion, said, there's a woman trapped in the trunk of a car at Walmart. So they send units to go check on that. Then he had somebody else call in a bomb threat to one of the local businesses, so they sent units to that. The chief of police had heard about this group, and he said, something's going on here. He said, send units to both of those places, but I want every other available unit in the city of South Haven to go to all the banks. So they roll up, and here comes our guy, Patrick Michael Mitchell, coming out of the bank, robbing the bank in record time, but he had a pump shotgun by a police officer right there to his head, and he decided he better give up. So he did. Their method of operation. Again, the devil has his ways. The devil has his wiles. The devil has his method of operation. One of his methods is to keep us busy doing other things instead of serving the Lord. You know, the devil doesn't have to get us just to deny the Lord totally or to curse God and die. But he can just keep us busy doing other things instead of being a soldier of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul warns the church at Corinth that if they don't practice forgiveness, that they could be subject to the devil and to his wiles. And it uses this language, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Notice the word devices is plural. Notice the word here in Ephesians chapter 6, wiles of the devil. That's plural. You see, the devil's got more than one trick in his trick bag. He's got a lot of tricks. And he knows what trick may work best on me, and he knows what trick may work best on you. And I'm going to tell you, the devil's been doing a lot of tricks since the beginning of time. One of the things he does, he tries to get us to question the Word of God. And if he can get us to question the Word of God, then he gets bold enough to just say, what God said is a lie. It's not right. So the devil has a lot of tricks up his sleeve. The Apostle Paul, in writing unto the young preacher Timothy, tells him to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Again, the devil likes to get us busy doing other things, so we don't have time to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. That should be our ultimate goal. Lord, I want to please thee. Lord, the captain of my salvation, I want to please thee who had chosen me to be a soldier. That's the goal of my life. That's the number one in my life, that I may please the captain of our salvation. And I'll tell you, we got a captain that's a battle-hardened captain. Do you want to go to war following an officer that just came out of officer school that's never been in a battle? I'll tell you, I'd want to follow a military commander that's felt the agony and the trial and the tribulation of war. I want to follow a captain that's been in a battle. And I'll tell you, we follow our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer, that's won the greatest battle that's ever been won on the cross of Calvary, a battle against sin, Satan, hell, and death. And we can follow him knowing that he'll lead us where we should go. He's the captain of our salvation. You know, I'm told that when soldiers, a lot of the battles of the past, when soldiers were still on horseback, that when the army's getting about ready to give up, the battle's been strong and the battle's been hard. But if they can just look up and see their commanding officer, he's still on his horse. He's still raging on. He's still leading us. Then it would give the troops the encouragement and the strength to keep on keeping on, because they saw the captain of their salvation still on that white horse, still leading the charge and leading the battle. That's the Lord Jesus Christ that we serve. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Sometimes it's easy for us to think that our enemies are people, when our true adversary is the devil himself, and spiritual wickedness is in high places. It may be leading people, it may be pulling people in the wrong direction, but I'll tell you, our true enemy is the devil and his angels. The Apostle Peter would write, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, he tells us who he is, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil doesn't want to just hurt us or blacken our eye. The devil wants to devour us. He said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Again, not part of the armor, but the whole armor. Not an armor of man, not an armor of ourselves, but the whole armor of God. That ye may be able, here's that word again, to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Does truth matter? I'll tell you, it mattered to the Lord Jesus Christ. He would tell Pilate, Pilate asked him, art thou a king then? And the Lord Jesus would say, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The Lord Jesus would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord Jesus talks about truth as a singular thing. The world acts as if truth is a plurality. And they act like, well, this can be true for me, and something that's totally opposite can be true for you, and both are truth. But I'll tell you, that's not what the Bible teaches about truth, but that there's one truth, and it's the truth of the Lord Jesus. He said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Where do we find the truth? In this book. It's our only rule. It's our sole rule of faith and practice. Here is found the truth, and we need to stand on the truth. The Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount would say, he that hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, he's like a man that built his house on a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. I'm going to tell you, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, I want to be standing firm on the rock, on the truth of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. He said, a man that hear these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Now get the picture. Both heard the sayings. Both heard the sayings of Christ. But one did it. Man that built his house on a rock. One did not. Built his house on the sand. You know what sand does? It changes all the time. You can stand on a shore and see those waves come in, and the sands are constantly changing. I grew up in North Mississippi, and we used to ride four-wheelers on some warehouser land where they would cut timber. They would allow people to do that. And there was a huge rock on that place. It was a rock that was big enough we could have a picnic on it, and we did. You know, when I go back up to Mama's and Daddy's after being gone for 30 years or so, I can go back on some of the trails we rode four-wheelers on. They constantly changed. The trails that were dirt, the trails that were sand, completely changed. But you know, I can go back to that big rock, and it hadn't changed. I'm going to tell you, the truth of the Lord Jesus doesn't change. Our culture changes all the time, but the Lord does not change. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change, and his truth does not change. And we need to stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We need to not only believe the truth, we need to walk in the truth. We need to stand in the truth. We need to gird our loins in the truth. He said, having on the breastplate of righteousness. A lot could be said about this, but we have no righteousness on our own. All righteousness we have is from the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us the robe of righteousness, as Isaiah would write. He gave us the garments of salvation. We have no righteousness but of him. What does a breastplate do? Covers our vital organs. The bulletproof vest that I wear, that's basically where it covers my vital organs. Our heart needs to be protected, does it not? He said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. The righteousness that the captain of our salvation came. Walk, follow in his steps. Follow the captain of our salvation. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. The writer of Proverbs would say, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. I'm not getting that quote just right, so I'm going to go get it to make sure I get it right. Do we need our hearts guarded? In the book of Philippians, it says keep our heart, doesn't it? I knew I was messing up. Yeah, keep thy heart. It does mean, that word keep does mean to guard. But it says keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. Keep your heart. The psalmist would say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The book of Philippians, he would say, be careful for nothing. Philippians 4, that means don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Do our hearts need to be kept in 2023 in the United States of America? Do our minds need to be kept in 2023 in the United States of America? He tells us how to do that. By praying to Him, by trusting in Him, as Brother Ronald so ably preached us last night. He said, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He says more than with our feet shod with the gospel. He says with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Reminded of something Brother Sonny Pyle said as he was giving a presentation to a group of graduating seniors. They were in the middle of their main football game of the season. And he basically said, you know, the most important thing we need to know is everybody's got the desire to win, the desire to win. And he got the crowd all stirred up and they were like, yeah, the desire to win, the desire to win. And he quickly told them that was wrong. He said, you ever heard of anybody that wanted to lose? He said, the desire to win is not what's key. He said, it's the desire to prepare to win. He had something written in his Bible. It was an old Marine motto that said, those who sweat more in training will bleed less in battle. To be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, to read the gospel of peace every day, to listen to good gospel preaching of the gospel of our salvation whenever we have an opportunity, and have our feet shod with it, to have it on our lips when we pray, thanking God for the good news of what His darling Son has done for us, to have the preparation of the gospel of peace, to be shod with it. Now, what do we do with our shoes? We walk in them. He said, don't just hear the gospel of peace. Don't just be thankful for the gospel of peace. You walk in the gospel of peace as a soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith. This shield is not a small, round, buckler shield. This shield is a big, door-shaped shield. It's one that you can kneel behind and be totally covered. A lot of times, Roman soldiers who would have this kind of shield, they'd line up in a line. So here's your fellow soldier. You got your shield. It's in front of you. He's got his shield, it's in front of him. And your other fellow soldier, and they'd have a whole line of shields. And sometimes they'd even have a shield above them over their head. So you'd have shields from the front, you'd have shields from the top. You know, think about the salt of the earth. As good soldiers of Jesus Christ, your shield helps me. And my shield helps you. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith. Listen to this. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It doesn't say you might be able. It says ye shall be able. It doesn't say you will do it. But it says ye shall be able to do it. The shield of faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what, no matter
what? Taking the shield of faith, which is ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Y'all remember those old cowboy and Indian shows where there would be fiery arrows shot into a barn? You remember what happened? That barn could be destroyed in a matter of moments. I'm going to tell you, a fiery arrow is far worse than a non-fiery arrow. You know what the wicked fires at us? Fiery darts. It says, ye shall be able to quench. That word quench literally means to extinguish. I'm a big believer in fire extinguishers because our house was struck by lightning several years ago when it blew a big old hole in the top of our roof about this big. And it instantly caught the house on fire. The rafters were on fire. I go up in the attic, see the fire blazing, run back down. By the grace of God, I did have a fire extinguisher. In a matter of seconds, the fire was out because I had an extinguisher. You see, what the Lord's blessed us with is able to quench, extinguish the fiery darts of the wicked. It not only repels the dart, it extinguishes the darts. What a blessing. That's better than Captain America's shield, what the Lord has given us. And it said, and take the helmet of salvation. What's the helmet do? It protects our head. Our head needs protected. It says, take the helmet of salvation. We need to be thinking the right thing about the eternal salvation the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. We need to be realizing the truth that the Lord finished the work on Calvary's tree, and he got the job done, and it ain't ever going to be undone. That's what the Lord did for us. We need to take that helmet of salvation, realizing we're eternally secure in that great battle that the captain of our salvation won for us on Calvary's tree. It said, in the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the only offensive weapon mentioned in this armor. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is our offensive weapon against the devil. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was tempted those 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, you remember how he went against the devil and the temptations the devil was hurling out? He used the Holy Scriptures every time. Now, the devil knows the Bible. The devil was quoting the Bible to the Lord Jesus, but he always wants to twist it. Twist it ever so slightly. But the Lord Jesus Christ defended against the temptations of the devil with the Holy Scriptures. I'm going to tell you, the Lord didn't have to do that. The Lord, being of superior might and power and authority, could have simply said, get thee behind me, Satan. And Satan would have been obliged to get behind him. But the Lord Jesus, as an example to me and you, used the Holy Scriptures. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ did it that way, how much more should we do it that way? We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we ought to be in this book every single day, eating it up, learning as much of it as we can. It's our sword of the Spirit. You know, a soldier's got to be very familiar with his offensive weapons. Police officers got to be very familiar with their offensive weapons. And we need to be familiar with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thus far, we've come to six pieces of armor. The Lord usually does things in sevens because that's the perfect number. He's getting a number seven, praying always. Not sometimes, not most of the time, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That word perseverance means keep on keeping on. Now, we're not guaranteed. God's not going to irresistibly cause us to keep on keeping on. But he's given us the ability to keep on keeping on. He's given us the ability to persevere as we follow him. And we should do that. And we need each other's help to do that. We need our fellow soldiers. When I was wanting to become a defensive tactics instructor, we had a little test we went through. And it was only 3 minutes, which doesn't sound long, but if you're in a fight, a full-blown fight, 3 minutes is a long time. As I was becoming a defensive tactics instructor, the first minute of our little exam was to strike and to knee a bag that another instructor was holding as hard as you could, as fast as you could for a minute. Then immediately after that, you were on the ground. An instructor was coming at you with the bag. And every time they came, you had to kick as hard as you could to fend off the attack for a minute. That's 2 minutes. In the fight of your life. And then the third minute, you were fighting a man we kind of call the Michelin Man or the Red Man. He was dressed in full padding from his foot all the way to his head. And he looked like the Michelin Man, except he was red and scary looking. They usually put our instructor in that thing that was about 6'7". And you had to fight him with everything you had for the last minute. And I'll tell you, I've never been in as good a shape as I ought to be. I was in better shape then than I am now. But I'm going to tell you, after about 2.5 minutes, I was done. I didn't have any more strength. And I said, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. I can't. I've given it my all. I can't do another thing. I'm done. I'm done. One of my fellow instructors, who's a good friend of mine, he's been a source of comfort and has lifted me up in difficult times, began to holler at me and say, Mark, you can do it. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. You can do it. Keep on keeping on. And an encouragement from one of my fellow instructors, one of my fellow officers, one of my fellow soldiers, if you will, gave me enough strength by his encouragement to finish that fight. You know, as children of God, as fellow soldiers of Jesus Christ, we need each other's encouragement. And when the trials and tribulations of life get so much where we say, I can't go on anymore. I can't do it. I'm done. I'm done. To hear our brother and sister in Christ say, Mark, keep fighting. Keep fighting. You can do it. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up. There's the captain of our salvation. He's still upon his horse. He's still leading the charge. Keep going. Keep going. Can make all the difference in the world. What a blessing we have as soldiers of Jesus Christ. May God richly bless you. It's my prayer.